to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're a passionate show that lets you know how to take control of your genes and your proteins so you can live the optimal life possible, so you can stay young, less disability for much longer. Today we have a wonderful show lined up for you. At the half past hour, our guest, an incredible person from Canada, actually. She trained in the United States as well at Duke. It is Colleen E. Kearney, who is Director, Sleep and Depression Laboratory at the University of Toronto. She's one of Canada's leading experts, I think the leading expert, in the treatment of insomnia, particularly in the context of co-occurring health issues, such as what happens with the holiday blues, how to fight it. So we'll talk to her, especially if you live in Cleveland or the Northeast. It's pretty gray days lately. How to combat that blues in the face of the gray days. She has some great suggestions. We also have a series of wonderful articles. And by the way, Bridget is here today. Bridget, say hello. Well, maybe she isn't here today yet. So Bridget will be here later. She's here, but apparently we've got some microphone connection issues, but we'll solve those pretty fast. In any case, we're going to talk about the measles outbreak and what vaccine, and should everyone get vaccinated? And we'll go over the data that Dr. Oz and I compiled in talking to 150 vaccine, literally 150 vaccine experts on every side of the story to find out what the real data was in our. We'll talk about tweets being better at predicting heart disease rates than smoking or diabetes in a area of the country. And this is, to me, really relatively shocking revelation, but we'll talk about it. We know that you can predict when flu is coming based on tweets and Google lookups, and that's how Google flu works, and it works very well at predicting the flu rates. But where it is and that it can predict heart disease is new to me. Smokers cost $1 million a year on average for a state. $1 million not per smoker per year, $1 million per smoker over their lifetime. If you say they're going to live 50 years, so it's about $20,000 a year more for each state in health care costs, disability costs, and lost wages and taxes while that person's disabled. Ramping up e-cigarette voltage produces more formaldehyde. What do I mean by that? Well, if you haven't used e-cigarettes, it's an electronic device. And depending on the voltage and how high you set the power, you get more or less nicotine, but you also get more formaldehyde. Is it enough to cause cancer? The answer is yes, but we'll talk about that in a few seconds. And then we're going to talk about we're going to talk next about salt. And as we've said before in this program, unless you have salt-sensitive hypertension, then you don't have to worry about sodium or salt at all. And we'll talk to you about how you find out if you've got salt-sensitive hypertension. What drink protects you from skin cancer? Well, I'll give you a key. It's one I like a lot, and it protects you from about 9 other cancers. I just took a gulp of it, as well as diabetes, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's disease if you're one of the 88% who is fast metabolizer of it. And then Bridget is going to, I'm going to give her this story because it's one of her favorites, which is the food for thought, how pizza impacts kids' health. She's going to discuss pizza and healthy versus unhealthy pizza as well. And then we've got our segment coming up with Colleen E. Kearney, how to beat the post-holiday blues. We will have a tip of the week for both this segment and the next segment. And of course, if you get to stay for the next segment, and if you don't, in the next hour, if you don't, then you can log on and see it in podcast. It's there by Monday morning, and that is Gary Ginsberg's What's Toxic and What's Not. And we have some wonderful subjects in that that we'll talk about in the second hour. Well, let's first go to measles. Bridget, are you on now?
I am on. I'm sorry, I had a few technical complications.
Ah, you're soft. Can you speak up a little?
Yes, is that better?
Much better. Good. Okay, and did you get immunized against measles?
I did.
And you probably got two shots. So remember, there is a shot sometime between age 12 and 15 months, and then one around just before you go to kindergarten. And they have the, if you just get one shot, you're about 92% protected. Two shots, you're in the 97 or 90 to 99% protected range. So it's very effective. Before we gave immunizations, the United States used to have roughly 4 million cases a year. That's how many kids there are. Every kid would get it. And 500 kids would die of measles. Now, recently, since 2000, when we thought we had wiped out measles in the United States, nobody's dying. So saving 500 people. And we don't even have any serious side effects from the vaccine that we know of. There is some, if you look at vaccines in general, there are some serious side effects of neuropathy and other neurologic damage, but it is very slight. So instead of 500 for dying with the measles, if you didn't get the vaccine, there would be 5 to 50 would get it. So much lower incidence of the disease, much lower complication rates. And so is a immunization totally safe? No, there are side effects from it, but the chance of the side effects are so small that it's like a winning a lottery. That is, it's a 2,000 to 5,000 to 1 chance you're going to get a benefit rather than a side effect if you get all 16 vaccines. So it's really remarkable how safe they are and how good they are at preventing disease. And so the message is, like you, Bridget, and like me, get all the immunizations you can that are against diseases we know occur, because these are really, really important for preventing complications of common viral diseases. The story came up because approximately we've been going in the 10 to 15 to 20 number of cases a year since 2000. And then last year it jumped to 187. And this year we're on a rate to hit over 1,200 cases. So it's a real epidemic. But approximately 70 of those cases are coming from the same place, Disney World. When you cough or sneeze, your virus stays in the air for measles for about 30 minutes, which is why other kids can get it. And even employees of Disney World, and you're pretty darn, if you will, infective to other people when you get it. So that's why this case has come in the news. And we use herd immunity. That is, when you have a whole bunch of people in the same group that are protected against it because of a virus vaccine, then even if you have an infected kid comes in, he can't infect others because they've already been protected against it. That's what we mean by herd immunity. You need about 92% of the kids protected. We're not getting those because people are opting out of the vaccines in a kind of weird way. No reason to opt out. And how do we increase their opting in is one of the latest points. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about that, but we'll go to the second story of the week, which is how tweeting tells you more about heart disease prevalence than even does diabetes or high blood pressure or smoking. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Ever notice when you have a baby? Everyone seems to give you advice. From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're listening, and I hope you are, all around the country on RadioMD.com. If you're listening there, great. If you're listening in your local radio station, we're on about 33, and I've just heard that we're on WCGO. I think it's 1590 in Evanston. If you're there, you can always email us at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, to tell us about your questions or concerns, or you can call in 877-711-5211. 877-711-5211, and hopefully you'll get to speak to Sonar, who will put you on the air. One of the most interesting stories of the week occurs with the knowledge, if you will, that tweeting is more studying tweets and what they're about. And the geography they're coming from tells you more about where heart disease is than does even the prevalence of diabetes or of a number of other, if you will, things, such as smoking prevalence. So when you say, it tells you that if the smoking prevalence is high in a country, you'd expect the heart disease rate to be high. And you say, how does tweeting do it? Well, it tells you what they did is they analyzed the tweets for hostility. So this is anger, hostility, and anxiety. And they found those places in the world, those cities and countries with the highest anxiety and hostility, had higher heart disease rates, and that in fact overwhelmed the diabetes. It overwhelmed the influence of diabetes from that area, or smoking, diabetes, and blood pressure combined. Bridget, did that surprise you?
It does surprise me, but at the same time, when you think about it more, it makes sense. I think that people are using social media as an outlet for negative emotions, maybe also positive emotions. So it makes sense that that would convey that they have maybe higher stress levels and a higher risk of heart disease.
Huh, okay.
Do you agree?
Well, I understand where you are and that you aren't as surprised as I am. I was surprised just because it didn't seem to me that hostility should overwhelm the other factors, but it brings back that stress levels are, in fact, the greatest cause of illness in society. That is our inability to manage stress. And so that we have a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, memory loss, of cancer, of accidents, of infections with high stress levels, and brings up again probably the importance of managing your own stress level to combat this, if you will, strongly. Say it again.
I was going to say, in addition to weight gain, I think that stress is a major contributor to weight gain, and even if you're making dietary changes and you're not seeing results that you would expect from losing weight, a lot of times it might be because you're missing the stress management component to keep your cortisol levels down and decrease your abdominal fat.
I think that's correct. The other thing that is common in this situation is that one of the things that has been done for now, I think it's 5 or 6 years, Google looked at flu trends. That is, where is the flu and how common is it, based on tweets of people asking about flu? And this has been able to predict the CDC reports of flu. That is, it was able to find the flu way before anything else. And so this has been a very good predictor of flu rates. And the Google flu trend, which hit a very high level in mid-December, has now turned way down then in mid-January, and now is, although we're still kind of in mid-January, is turning back up. So that's a little scary, because when you look at this, it's very rare that it turns back up after it turned down. I'm afraid that people didn't get the flu shot as frequently this year because of the stories about it missing the H3N2 or being imprecise in it. And consequently, the other three flus, especially the influenza B, which the flu shot protects against. So the flu shots protect against four kinds, that the other three are now going to have their run of us, because they occur later than the classic H and N flus. And this one is the influenza B is what tends to come in February, late February, and it looks like it's turning up sharply. And so I worry a little bit about us having a real recrudescence of flu. And with that, of course, comes the risk of heart disease, stroke, and memory loss, because that's what comes with the flu. That is, when you have that much inflammation in your body from flu, you rupture plaque, and that causes heart disease, stroke, memory loss, even in younger people, that rupturing of plaque. So that's my concern.
And risk of death for the elderly and anyone that's immune compromised.
That's correct. And so I'm a little worried, more worried about that coming back this year. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, it's still not too late, and you can protect yourself against the late February recrudescence. It takes about 2 weeks for the flu shot to have an appreciable effect. You start to see it in 1 week, but in 2 weeks, it's got about two-thirds of its effects, and by the end of 3 weeks, you're seeing the full effect. Again, you can email us at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, or you can email us at udocs at gmail.com, or you can call us at 800-527-7211. 877.
I messed it up today too.
877-711-5211. 877-5211. Oh, I really screwed it up.
877-711-5211.
5211. The other story that I want to squeeze in, if we can, before the break at the half hour. So, Bridge, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it, but is pizza impacting kids' health?
Yes, apparently it is, based on a national survey that was done, the National NHANES Survey, which is done to get a really good predictor of what people are eating. So what they found from children ages 2 to 11 and adolescents ages 12 to 19 is that when kids were eating pizza, specifically from fast food restaurants, that was associated with a 323 calorie increase in their total daily intake for adolescents. And then they compared that with pizza from school cafeterias, which actually led to a slightly lower increase in their calorie intake than fast food
restaurants. When we come back in the second hour, we'll have to discuss that greater, because that's a huge increase. Right now, coming up, we're going to talk about how you can cure your post-holiday blues with Colleen E. Kearney, who is Director of Sleep and Depression Laboratory at University of Toronto. We'll be right back.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalife Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalife Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalife.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalife.com. Prevalife, for immediate comfort and relief.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a great guest for you coming up now on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is someone who can help with a common problem. Colleen E. Carney is the director of the Sleep and Depression Laboratory at the University of Toronto, and she's going to talk to us about how to beat those post-holiday blues. Colleen, thanks for coming on. How common is our post-holiday blues?
I think they're pretty common, and even if it's not specifically post-holiday, but it's just sort of a winter blues, I think the some studies have shown that up to 90% of people will report that there's some change either in their mood, their energy levels, or sleep. So there's something that happens in the winter in particular, and it seems to get a little worse after the holidays.
And when you say it's pretty common, do you mean 30% of us have it, or 50%, or 10%? Where are we in that range? And is it worse? In other words, is it worse in areas that have gray skies like Cleveland and Syracuse and Buffalo? Or and I take it Toronto has relatively good sun, being on the other side of the lake.
We don't have great sun. I mean, I wish we did. You know, there is a issue that does have to do with light specifically. And studies that actually look at latitude, it's a little bit difficult because it's not just, there's probably a lot of things going on. For example, people who live in really far northerly regions or people, there's some self-selection there. So people that couldn't tolerate that kind of weather don't move there, whereas people, you know, whether it's Cleveland or Toronto, we may live there and really hate the winter, be really susceptible to the low levels of light. So it's really hard to tell, but generally speaking, there is a relationship between the amount of light and rates of depression.
And now, so one of the solutions might be some light, but you're going to tell us some other solutions, because people have sleep problems because of it. They have what else? What other kind of problems manifest other than just they're depressed and they have sleep problems? Are there other things, or are those enough and great enough to call them to have medical problems and for them to seek some medical solution?
Yeah, I would definitely say that those two things are enough to cause a variety of issues, the health issues and mental health issues. But people often will also report changes in their eating habits, and they will report weight gain often in the wintertime, and they notice big effects on their energy. Now, of course, sleep and energy, a lot of people assume they go hand in hand, but not necessarily. Some people just feel sluggish even if they're sleeping longer than they usually do.
And how much of that is, now do people say to you, is it just me getting old, or is it sluggish because of the winter? And do they wait it out and see whether they get better, or is that one of the problems from it?
Yeah, I mean, I think people often assume that the decreased energy is, and to some extent, you know, feeling less vigor, not sleeping well. A lot of people will just assume, oh, this is just part of aging, and they let it go, which they shouldn't, because certainly fatigue is something that we want people to bring to their family doctor to check out to make sure there's not something else going on. We want people to get treatment for, I mean, something like insomnia is quickly and easily treated. So we really want people who are suffering from low mood, from fatigue, and from sleep problems to get in to see their doctor to make sure to get treatment if it's actually in the clinical range.
Now, you're in Canada, and so one of the questions, this is from a Mandy sent in, how soon could someone with a sleep problem get in to see you, and are you the one to see for a sleep problem that is occasioned by this, or are there other things I should do?
Well, I think, you know, there are, if somebody is having something like an insomnia or depression that's been going on for an extended period of time. So for depression, if you've had pervasive symptoms like low mood, having difficulty experiencing pleasure, and then a host of other symptoms that go with it that can include sleeping problems and fatigue and concentration problems. If that's been going on for more than 2 weeks, then we really want you to get in to see your doctor. For sleep, if it's been going on more than a few months, then certainly we want you to get in and see someone. I'm at Ryerson University. I actually did my undergraduate at University of Toronto, but at Ryerson University, we treat people with insomnia and with depression, and we actually provide free treatment because we are always researching how these treatments work, how we can get better, and they are cognitive behavioral treatments. They're not actually medication treatments.
So tell us a little bit, and we'll be glad to have two segments with you if you can do that with us. The first one is normally 10 minutes, so we've got another couple minutes. And then if we run out of time in this answer to this question, you can started at the second one, but sure. How common is, or what is cognitive behavior therapy, and how well does that work? I understand it works better than medication, but talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia specifically, because there's, you know, cognitive behavior therapies for a variety of problems, including depression. But cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia is considered the frontline treatment for chronic insomnia, only because it's more durable than medication. So I would say that they're comparable in terms of the effect. But unlike medications, cognitive behavior therapy, after you're done the four sessions, you continue to remain symptom-free.
So
cognitive behavior therapy is a treatment where you change your sleep habits so that they're more in line with your body clock, that you're getting rid of the pairing of the bed with wakefulness, and you're just fixing any habits that might be getting in the way of a solid sleep.
What kind of habits would those be?
Well, it depends. I mean, for some people, they vary the time that they get up each morning. And so that provides sort of unsteady input into your body clock. So if you tend to get up, say during the week you get up at 5 o'clock and on the weekends you get up at 9 o'clock, that's 4 hours difference. And that's like, it's like taking a trip from New York to LA and expecting that there would be no physiologic consequences to that. The mismatch between the clock inside of your body and the clock local time, there's a big mismatch there. And so it hurts your mood, but it also hurts your sleep, your energy levels. It can also affect the way when you feel hungry and what you eat. So we want people to have a regular schedule during the week. And for some people, that might be one thing that we fix. It could also be getting out of bed when you're awake for long periods of time at night, because lying in bed while you're awake and tossing and turning can actually make it more likely that the next time you get into bed, it's going to happen again. So we want people
now,
to
leave
the bedroom
when
that happens.
Lisa asks us, how long does that, she flies across the country, she says three times a month, and she's flying, and she says lately she's noticed that she's had more trouble, and she feels sluggish, hasn't had that in prior winters, and she said, is this, how long does it last, and does it get worse as you get older?
The difficulty with being able to cross time zones, is that what you mean?
Yes, she's saying, and we're going to have to take this when we come back because we're going to run out of time, but to give you the specific, she says she's been doing this for years, has never had a problem. This year she feels very sluggish, and she wonders if it's happening because she's getting older, and she wonders how long it lasts, because it seems to be lasting longer for her now. You're listening to Colleen Carney from Ryerson University in Toronto, director of the Sleep and Depression Laboratory. We'll be right back with more from her on RadioMD.com.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parents-are-the-key. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325 and mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parents-are-the-key. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. If you're one of the first listeners for our new station in Chicago, WCGO 1590, thanks for listening and tuning in. We're now in about 34 local markets, meaning on terrestrial or normal radio, as well as on the internet radio. You can find us always, if you miss us, at RadioMD.com. We've archived 15 years, I think, of prior shows at RadioMD.com, you, the Owner's Manual Show. We're talking with a wonderful guest, Dr. Colleen Carney, DrColleenCarney, .com is her website. And when you go there, you see the books that are written for the scientific audience as well as the lay audience. Good Night Mind and Quiet Your Mind and Get to Sleep are the, if you will, the audience that everyone listens to. Good Night Mind, Quiet Your Mind, and Get to Sleep, two different books by Dr. Carney and her co-authors. She's at Ryerson University and is director of the Sleep and Depression Laboratory. And so one of the things we're going to get to is this, does it get tougher, is what Lisa asked us, to adjust to the shifts in time as you go coast to coast. She said she's been going coast to coast for many years, is the way she phrased it, and never had a problem. She always considered herself one of the lucky ones. But this year, she's been feeling much more tired in doing this and wonders if, as you get older, the shifts in time are tougher to accommodate to. So that was Lisa's question for Dr. Carney. And Dr. Carney, where do we go on that answer?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that type of travel is tough on anyone, but some people are, you know, just better coping with that than others. And whenever there's a change where suddenly it's bothering you a lot more, I think at that point we really do want you to consider that maybe something has changed, maybe a new sleep disorder has happened, maybe something else has happened health-wise. So that might be something to keep an eye on and to bring up to your doctor if it persists. There can be a bit of a cumulative effect for people that are doing stuff like shift work, and that type of jet lag disturbance, that circadian disturbance, can be similar among the two. So it can be, it can build up over time and then suddenly start bothering people. And whether or not that's age or whether or not it's just a cumulative effect or if there's something else going on, we don't usually know. And so that's something that we could probably evaluate.
How, if you will, are many of the, what we would call the, or what people in Cleveland, where I'm based right now, would call the light effects or the winter blues due to lack of sunlight. Mm-hmm. How common is that as a cause of more serious sleep disorders or more serious depression?
We think that that's probably a major role in the wintertime, beneath the mood and energy and sleep and even eating disturbances that we see. So we have a body clock, and that body clock is essential in our body for regulating things like alertness and sleep and even eating and mood. So when we don't have a lot of input into that clock, and the best or most powerful input is actually light, and specifically blue light from the sun, then our system does drift. And so we're in a state of almost jet lag every day. And so we can try and shore that up a little bit by having regular habits so that it can rely on other things to set the clock, things like regular, eating at the same time, getting up at the same time, trying to focus on light during the day. If you're particularly susceptible, you could talk to your doctor about just getting a light box or a light visor. But we actually think that light is a major factor when it comes to mood and sleep disturbance, not only in disorders, but also in most of the population who do feel the effects during the winter.
Joan sends an email in. When I lie down to sleep, my brain won't turn off no matter how tired I am. What can I do? Any hints?
Well, I think there's probably several things, but often a mind that isn't turned on or turned off, rather, sometimes there's just some processing that needs to happen earlier in the evening. So setting aside some time to go over to-do lists or to sort of figure out some problems, that can be helpful. But often our brain not shutting off when we get into bed can be a sign of one of two things. One is that we haven't built up enough drive for deep sleep during the day. We may not have been active enough. We may have been active right up until the moment that we've got into bed and we didn't have a little bit of a wind down period. Or it could be a sign of that phenomenon I described earlier, where if you stay in bed when your mind is racing or when you're awake in bed, over time you can actually train your brain to be awake in bed. So there, a busy mind is a sign of several possible problems. So one tip is to get out of bed whenever it's happening. And that's going to not only dissociate that from the bed, but it also will generate a little bit of sleep drive to sleep more deeply when you return to bed.
Is there anything in particular that you recommend people do once they get out of bed?
No, I mean, I think that people worry that, oh, I'm going to become more alert when they get out of bed. But the thing is that it's almost like a reset. So generating that little bit of sleep deprivation is actually a good thing. There's actually hidden benefits to that. So it should be something relaxing, not too engaging. For people who are really sensitive, we don't want to have a ton of light on because it could actually make people feel more alert. But certainly they can put on safe lighting. And watch television, read, listen to music, do something that's relaxing, but out of the bedroom.
And another quick question is, I have problems sleeping. My kids seem to be following me. Are there ways to teach them to deal with sleep that is different than what I do?
I think a lot of the habits are really the same. In fact, often kids have better sleep habits than we do because they have regular routines and so on. I think you definitely want, if my daughter has not done a wind down period before bed, then she takes longer to fall asleep. So I think just making sure that you're doing the same thing, have a wind down period. For most children, that's going to be either being read to or them reading. They usually have a bath as part of their routine. So having a relaxing wind down routine, and for kids, it's usually more like an hour or two as opposed to, you know, 30 minutes to an hour for adults. And if they can't sleep,
we're running out of time, Colleen, so thank you very much. The website, Dr. Colleen Carney. Dr. Carney practices at Ryerson University in Toronto, drcolleencarney.com is the website. It's a wonderful website. Two books there that you can get as well. Thanks very much for a really informative session. We'll be back shortly on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show if you get the second hour. If you don't, you can always get it by archived at radiomd.com. Stay well.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news! Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.